Well, hi there, it's Matthew Blades, and welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. As you may or may not know, I serve as a podcast consultant to several people, and I help them take an idea and then really turn it into something. And so if you're sitting out there right now and you've always thought about creating a podcast, but you're just not sure how to take that idea and make it into something, this is where I come in. It's all about pregame strategy. It's all about setting up a soundtrack to your podcast. It's about understanding what your key benchmarks are going to be and really drilling down on the why. Why would somebody listen to your podcast? So I love doing this work because for me, giving back and helping other people step into that place is so fun. It's so exciting. And today I'm going to turn you on to Ange and Claire. Now, I met Claire because, truth be told, she's actually my health coach at a place called Health Span MD, which is where I go to see Dr. Robert Todd Hurst, who's my cardiologist, and she's a part of the strategy there to keep me well. So Ange and Claire live a very active lifestyle, and for them, the goal of this podcast is to get you these great nuggets so that you can live your best life. Now, question, how many of you have a bad relationship with your scale? That's exactly what Ange and Claire are going to tackle on one of their first episodes of the Nourished Life podcast. And so let's jump right in as Ange and Claire are talking about the reason they stepped into this recording in the first place.
I came to a point where I told my coach at one point, I was in the middle of bodybuilding for the bikini division of competitions. And you know, I'm supposed to take photos and hop on, you know, the scale and do weekly check-ins. And finally, I just said to him, I'm like, this is messing with my headspace and I need to just do photos. Because that's where, for me, my body was showing up in those changes. A scale was just a number. And even though I could logically tell myself stepping on it every Friday, it became stressful. And I just was like, firing my scale.
She's out of here.
Yeah. And I had two and I actually threw away one. So I was like, I don't need two. You know, one was like, I had it forever. So it was freeing to just throw it, one of them away, even though I kept one. Mm-hmm. And to really lean in to what that was mentally doing for me was greater than the results, the number and all that. So I had to start working on the headspace to build that back up. So I wasn't coming in feeling like, oh, I'm not hitting my goal. I'm up a pound. And so today we're just going to like tackle the whys behind a scale can fluctuate and how to create a better relationship with a scale. I do think it is important, depending on your goals and the things that you're trying to achieve, that a scale makes sense, but it doesn't fit necessarily in every goal.
Absolutely.
And being okay with that. So yeah, Claire, do you have a relationship with a scale? Like, what does that look like for you?
So I do. I know how different the scale can show up for me. I know how I could go light on strength training for 2 weeks and I've lost a few pounds. And I know that when I'm really, really consistent with my strength training, my weight will go up. And so mm-hmm. one of the things that, instead of a scale, my gym actually has an in-body scan. And even though that's not fully accurate, a lot of the local gyms actually have them. So for our listeners, if getting a scan like that, and then also my practice just got a DEXA scan, and then I do a lot of research studies with Mayo Clinic. And so I get DEXA scans through that. And a DEXA scan is one of the most reliable body scans that you can get that will mm-hmm. actually tell you how much body fat percentage, how much visceral fat, which is your fat around your organs, which is mm-hmm. a huge determiner of longevity, because the more visceral fat you have, the lower your lifespan will be. So knowing that sure. can actually help people. And I have a lot of experience with helping people identify with their DEXA scan what the best mm-hmm. exercise and nutrition is. So that has helped yeah. me to have access to those resources, and everyone does. It's about $75 for a DEXA scan, and I think it's priceless to have that because it'll actually...
And you're not replacing that because obviously you're not hopping on that every week. So it's more or less, it's a helpful tool to kick off maybe some specific goals, shifting some stuff that's going on the inside. But for our listeners, it's really, what are we doing at home every day? Some people are weighing themselves daily. That's a different thing. And to be clear, like getting on a scale is one thing, but to get that DEXA scan is going to target a different type of awareness of what's going on internally to us and their body, and a deeper dive into more than the number.
Yeah. Personally, with the scale, I actually stepped on this morning. I try to do it once a week. Sometimes I do it every 2 weeks because it's more about the, you know, I want to see a linear downtrend over time, not the day to day. I mean,
depending again on your goals. So not, for me, you know, the relationship with the scale today is I don't even get on it. I have learned over years, what it looks like to have a poor night's rest. You know, what are the things that can alter why our scale is telling us one thing and not another thing? For me, I've come out of having to do a weekly check-in. I'm not in a specific goal setting that would drive me to need to get on there and track. But I think the biggest key is we definitely don't need to be weighing every day. Mm-mm. That's like a big no-no. And I only say a no-no is because it actually is a greater impact on our mental health and a space of how we are not. We don't want to keep being disappointed, especially when there's a million factors that can play into why we're up a pound, 2 pounds, even 3 pounds. So for women, it's our monthly, our menstrual cycle. Another reason could be like, I just had, you know, a higher sodium night of food and I'm getting up and weighing and that extra water weight's on there, or I haven't had enough water to drink to flush that out. And the fact is stress, you know, like just general stress is going on. It can be a huge factor. And so having if you are reaching a goal and you're looking for that, it's important to just do it weekly. And if that is getting too big, sorry, I'm going to hop in real quick, is to take photos or check how your clothes are fitting. Those are alternatives to show progress without, I think, are actually more rewarding because, you know, we're not feeling our clothes all day long and wanting to like unbutton that top button sitting, you know? So that in itself speaks greater than a number.
So when you were going through your process of firing your scale and starting to take the progress pictures, which I love that, by the way, how often were you taking the progress pictures?
So I transitioned. I was just taking them once a week.
Okay.
And even from week to week, when I did the side-by-sides, there were slight changes, but it was really at the every 2 week mark, I was seeing more of the change. And again, like I was dropping fat, building lean muscle mass. And so that's another reason why that scale where I was like, hey, Eric, my coach, I'm like, I can't keep getting on the scale. And I want to really allow these photos to speak for themselves as we're going from, you know, milestone to milestone within our plan to hit stage.
And I do want to also point out that just for our listeners, we're not saying don't do it every day because, you know, some people, that is how they have had results. You know, knowing that they do have to like write that number down or track that number every day. And like, we're seeing those results. For example, with my work, one of the options is for the remote care monitoring is to have a scale at home that we automatically get the data from. And mm-hmm. I have patients where I have to make them cover the number because there's like, for yeah. insurance purposes, there's a certain number that they need to reach. And I'm like, just cover it because I can tell when it's messing with their head. But for other people, they're like, I love it. I need to see that number because if I know that I'm stepping on the scale and you can see it, that yeah. is going to change the decisions that I'm making throughout the day. So I will say that everyone's different.
Right.
Overall, if it does mess with your head, it don't do it every day because clearly why would you want to continuously do something that is going
to. Yeah. And if you want to get on the scale every day, understand the multiple variables
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that are going to take place so that you can put those pieces together and not be discouraged. And because absolutely. it is an overall, you know, where are we going as a bigger picture, which is reaching whatever goal you have and within the scale, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another thing too, I was going to point out is when we start to strength train, and you even touched on that within your story, is, you know, if you're like leaning into walking, yoga, smaller, like more body weight movements, as opposed to like weight movement training exercises, or, you know, even hiking camelback here locally to Phoenix, like those are things that are going to raise up your number on the scale. And that's not bad. It's just, that's what your body is now building, that muscle and that strength. And so as weight comes down, sometimes weight does pop up a little bit, but that's not a negative thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so crazy how, well, I'm short. I'm really, you know, I can change.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 5 foot tall. Like, even. Okay. I'm like, I guess I can give myself a quarter of an inch there, but that's about it.
And I'm 5'3". So it's rare that anyone is shorter than me. So Claire, she's a peanut. She's tiny.
A little peanut. Yeah. So it's just crazy because I can change my composition really fast by like not lifting weights, lifting weights, and then seeing the difference on the scale. Sometimes it can, like when I weigh myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gaining weight. But then I think about it and I'm like, well, that's probably a good thing. That's yeah. good. I need to be increasing that muscle mass.
Yes, of course. And I think, you know, what is the most important is really being aware of, is that impacting my mental space,
mm-hmm.
you know, feel and just, it. Yeah. And be aware, like, hey, I'm feeling discouraged about this. I just need to take a week off. You know, we approach that same concept when it's maybe we've like packed our schedule and we're going nonstop. And next week, we're like, you know what? I'm going to say no to some things because that's what I need. And that's the same concept with getting on the scale and the relationship with the scale. I think that's the biggest thing is driving, being the driver of like when something's too much in any part of our life and when we need to pull back and finding that balance, saying mm-hmm. like, okay, you know what? I'm going to just let it go. And on Friday, you know, I'm going to pop in on this and weigh myself and give myself grace, like to have fluctuation, to have changes and, or have a week that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I didn't prep my food the way I should have. I ate out a couple of times and that is what it is. And then with anything else, we hop back on to our routine, our planning, our exercise or whatever.
One of my favorite sayings is I can't remember the exact wordage for it, but you can always make one poor decision for your health, but don't make two in a row. And I really like mm-hmm. that because yeah. it gives you grace. Like, I know this isn't the best for my health, but I want to do it. And you can go into mm-hmm. that. It's a better mindset to be in of, okay, I'm aware of what I'm doing, but I deserve this. And yeah. then just don't do it the next day. Just don't continuously keep making yeah. those decisions. That's what this is about. It's about finding that balance. Yes, have that piece of cake and ice cream, And then tomorrow, have an omelet for breakfast. You know, don't have a donut.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that is also the impact of like that scale, the changes, because it's okay to have that cake or that ice cream, or, you know, you're celebrating someone cool in your life and you're going out to dinner, you know, or it's the holidays and you're trying to juggle all those things. And understand that scale is just a guideline to help you get to the bigger point of your goals. And I think that's important to know too, like, when am I, what is my intention of hopping on this scale? You know, what is the intention behind that? Is it because I'm, and in my case, you know, I had a period of time in my life where I gained, you know, like the freshman 15, right? And I had to have my some accountability. I had to change how I ate. I had to change my activity level. But that's why I was tracking it in that season of my life and getting that, ridding that extra weight my 5'3 body didn't need. And then there's the space of time where, you know, I'm running half marathons and I'm dropping weight more than I should. And I'm at a very low weight and probably could have used more food. So how do you track it on that aspect? How do I make sure I'm getting in those calories to sustain my lifestyle of what I'm trying to do? And then I jump into bodybuilding and I'm needing to hit a certain number as I'm coming into stage and dropping that excess water weight, et cetera. And there was goals and intention behind that. And I think that's a good way to look at weighing yourself. I currently don't have any physical goals that I'm trying to obtain. So I'm in a maintenance mode. And during these seasons of maintenance mode, that's when I fire my scale.
I was just going to ask, since you're in a maintenance stage, which is such an amazing stage to be in, by the way, you've put a lot of work to get to this point. So I want our listeners to be able to learn from you for sure. What is some of the keys to being able to maintain that weight loss, maintain coming out of the bodybuilding industry? What are some ways that you maintain that?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is when I, you know, my caloric intake was still at a great number for entering into stage. And I'm just going to give an example. There are many cookie cutter bodybuilding trainers that will have competitor females at 1200 calories and still you're hitting the gym and you're eating and it's not sustainable. In my case, I trained under an amazing coach who helped create balance within that. And we were able to get my caloric intake up to help support. So I was sitting at 1800 calories. But my body was burning at such a capacity. And so transitioning, right? I had a very regimented intake during that season. But to transition out of stage, because that is not a practical daily life to living that space. It's for a season. It's just to get to the stage. And hopping off of that is just slowly integrating food back in. And coming up to a space where I probably hover around 2100 calories a day. And again, this has been a like 10 years of mindful eating, aware of what I'm eating and going into, you know, what does 4 ounces look like of chicken? And because I did so much measurements in the beginning to learn, I don't have to measure. Now I know it. You know, I know what a cup looks like. I know what that, so I can just be mindful in my eating and help support my activity level. And if I'm not hungry, it's okay if I don't eat the 2100 calories that my body on a daily is needing to burn and fuel for my activity levels. And so that's kind of how I've learned to balance, is like listening to the body and saying, I'm in maintenance mode. if I'm not really that hungry, it's okay. Or if I'm feeling extra hungry because I just played 2 hours of volleyball the night before, did a workout in the morning, and I'm starving all day long, I'm just fueling a little bit different to support that. But I don't have to worry that the scale is going to tell me one thing or another, because I'm also listening. But I have some goals that I want to do. You know, we're getting into bikini season. There's some things I want to shift a little bit. And maybe I'll pull the scale back out.
The scale is getting rehired?
I might hire her back. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, Ange, what it like, say someone's just getting started, you know, just getting started and making a change and trying to figure out what's best for them, how often they should be getting on the scale. What would you tell them starting off? What are some of the things that they should be doing?
Yeah, I think asking yourself, like, what are my goals? What am I trying? Really be clear on that. If you're going from a state of sedentary, you work in an office and you're not moving a ton, you know, goal one is, get on the scale, figure out your start date, and know that's what I'm doing. And now you can take pictures, you can, you know, be mindful of like, okay, how are my clothes fitting? And I'm not talking about leggings. I'm talking about, you know, is it the shirt that buttons up? Is it a shirt that's a little more fitted and it's feeling tight? Those are some things that to try on and say, this is day one, and having that foundation. So you, as a reward, know that you're making progress. Like, we want to have that. That's like huge, right? We want to have reward when we're choosing to change something. So for that person, it's getting your start line, your baseline. And then deciding, do I want to lose 5 pounds? Am I here to lose 10 pounds? Maybe your overall goal is 20 pounds, but you're going to focus on the 5.
Or maybe it could be to gain. Maybe you're underweight.
Yeah, that's right. The other side of it is gaining weight, or, oh my gosh, I am working out so much and I'm not seeing a change, and I need to hop on and see what's going on and start troubleshooting in that aspect. Like, there's this podcast isn't just for the weight loss. It's not just for the people who need to see a change of weight gain. It's for even the people who are working out a ton and are plateauing and making those shifts. Maybe I'm not eating enough and I need to come up. So I think it's really identifying, to go back to your question, Claire, because you know we can ramble on these things when we're passionate about it. Yes. But to answer your question is, find out what your goals are. Make them clear and intentional. And then once you've established that, you can say, What feels right for me to weigh in? What feels good for me to hop on that scale? Is it cool if I just do it once a week? Do I need in the beginning to do it daily? So that's another question to ask yourself, is how often, within being in a healthy mind space and a good relationship with my scale, do I need to hop on here?
Yeah, and do trial and error, because you won't know what works for you until you try it. So I think just getting started somewhere. I do want to tell a couple stories too. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that?
No, I think just one, identify your purpose and goal. Be clear on those. And then two, trial and error, I think, is really where you landed it, is like, try it. Maybe you try it once a week. And if that feels good, great. If you're already weighing yourself a ton, challenge yourself to, you know, and I say a ton daily, if you're weighing yourself daily, pull back, and maybe you do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, like, maybe there's that and you just shift those things. But yes, absolutely. Your time, your turn, story time.
Yes. Okay. These have been really life-changing things for me with working with patients. Though, one story, one of my patients, he was throughout this journey, he went all in. He started strength training. He wasn't doing that before. He started strength training initially with a trainer 2 days a week. And then he ended up bumping it up to 3. And every single time that I met with him, he mm-hmm. looked different. Like mm-hmm. his energy was different. His, you know, like his face looked completely different. Like yeah. I couldn't believe it. And so I was just like, wow. And he started tracking his vegetables every day. I was like, all right, mm-hmm. one thing that you're lacking is vegetables. He started doing that. And like, he was like, oh my gosh, I noticed a huge difference. He's like, but the scale, yeah. the scale, he's like, my clothes fit completely different, but the scale, I've only lost 7 pounds. And I was like, I don't know how that's possible, but luckily he did get yeah. a DEXA scan when he first came into the office. And when he hit his 6 month mark,
yeah,
he was ready to, no, actually, I think it was 3 month mark. Okay, it was 3 month mark. Mm-hmm. It was a 3 month mark. Because some people, if they're making drastic changes.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the DEXA more frequently is really important just to get those numbers, especially if you're adding strength training into your regimen. And mm-hmm. he lost 17 pounds of fat.
Wow.
17 pounds. And he gained 10 pounds of muscle.
Right. There you go.
I'm like, yeah, the scale really is just a number. It was just so insane. And then another patient, so he was saying the same thing. He's like, my scale is pretty much maintained, but he completely changed his regimen. He was doing a lot more zone 2 training, which is steady state mm-hmm. training, a lot more strength training, core work, things like that. And every time I met with him, he was just like, yeah, I don't know, I'm just doing what I do, you know, like very like honest.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah, yeah. And, nonchalant.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think he just wasn't really seeing the numbers that he wanted to, but he had to buy a new wardrobe.
Yeah, that says enough.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that was really cool because he just got his actually last week.
Oh, okay.
And it's been 6 months since he got his last one. And so with visceral fat, you want to be within under the 10th percentile, which is found by your age and gender. Mm-hmm. And he went from the 80th percentile of visceral fat to the 10th within wow. 6 months. He lost 3 pounds of just visceral fat, which is the fat around his organs. So he just added easily another 5 to 6 healthy years to his health span.
Right. By those, well, what he was so motivated,
mm-hmm.
but there were still small changes within that.
Absolutely.
That created this bigger picture. Now I feel like I need to go get a DEXA scan. I don't even think I've ever had one.
Like,
Claire, I'm coming up to your side of town. I'm stepping on there. And because I think I do get curious of what's really going on inside. Because of how I've watched my body evolve over like 15 years. And of course, I'm a facts girl. So I love all that like helps me.
The numbers.
It helps put it all together. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not just, I want to live long, you know, mm-hmm. like give me more life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, come on in. I think it's so, so important to know the numbers, get a baseline, and mm-hmm. yeah, for anyone just starting off in whatever journey you're in, I think getting the numbers is really important because you'll be really, really proud of yourself once you see the progress that you've made. And also, I just want to point out, don't get discouraged if you're mm-mm. in a weight loss journey, but you're also working out and strength mm-hmm. training. Feel into that. Like Ange said, like feel into how your clothes are fitting and how you look.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just right. The biggest thing.
And you're likely sleeping better, which mm-hmm. we could all use that, right? Because mm-hmm. the working out does that and eating good does that. It just starts pulling it all together and helps to recover the body, which is also another factor of just your body is starting to shed the excess fat and weight or whatever. So it's time, Claire, for the clarification.
All right, today's clarification. Feel into your goals. Decide, is my goal to lose fat? Is my goal to gain muscle? If that includes an in-body or a DEXA scan, great. If not, that's totally fine. It doesn't have to, but just get started. Just get started. Tracking gets the best results. So however you want to do it, whether that's weekly, whether that's daily, tracking it is going to be key in your journey.
Yes. Yes. That is so good, Claire. Right. That is a ton of takeaways.
Love it. Yes. And then Ange, what is a good challenge for everyone? What is an actionable thing that everyone can take away from this?
Yeah, I think one thing that's powerful to me, and it's just going to be a basic, what is your relationship with the scale? Dig into that space and ask yourself, what is that relationship? And it'll really help kind of land with what Claire said too. And just like, what are your goals? All, you know, what do you want to see out of the longevity of your life and putting those together. But yeah, that's my challenge. Dig a little bit on what that scale relationship looks like.
Love it. Awesome. Well, Ange, this was so great. Everyone, feel free to follow us on Instagram. Let us know what other topics you want us to cover. We would love to connect with you. So let us know if we can work with you one-on-one. We both would love to coach you and help you hit your goals. And until the next one.
And if you're in the Phoenix area or Scottsdale area, you can connect with me in person at Riot, which is stands for Running is Our Therapy. It is a welcoming to all levels. I walk with people, I jog with people, and if you want to just get connected with like-minded people, you can find me at Riot AZ. That's what it'll be on Instagram. And we meet every Tuesdays at 6 p.m. at the Scottsdale Quarter. So another avenue to connect and get in community with like-minded people.
Love it. Amazing. Yes, all right. Great. This was great. And I'm looking forward to our next episode.
That's right. Until next time.
All right. Bye.